It was bad, and everyone knew. When Chad hadn't returned for his bike a half hour later, the Ross girls gathered a toolbox from our garage. With the help of our friends, we broke Chad's bike down to its parts. Handlebars, pedals, tires, main body, screws, and washers, all left in a pile. Chad, who presumed himself smarter and better, who said he wanted to play with us but didn't like it when we won fair and square, who even as a child turned so automatically to that slur as soon as he thought, saw that we, that day, beat him, would have to figure out how to get it all home. Later, Chad's father, his son cowering behind him, rang our doorbell to demand that we apologize. The experiences that accompany life in the body of a person of color are well documented, but even as the notion of white America's inherent superiority is verbally rejected, very few are willing to use what power they have to shift the systems that have served them well. Some people who are used to winning are having trouble playing fair. But America should not expect people of color to apologize for disassembling the vehicles that support racial inequality. The people out there with the screwdrivers and wrenches trying to make the country into what it promised to be are disproportionately people of color, particularly black Americans. But if the suffering and loss of the past year is to have meaning, the work of private citizens cannot be enough. We must begin by holding to account those in power, especially the man in the White House. The phrase, "talk is cheap," is a truism for a reason. We have heard enough. Now, let's watch for what is done.